You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
We're back with another edition of the Cleveland Baseball Talk podcast. I'm Joe Noga, joined by Paul Hoynes. Hoynesy, are you fully recovered from the shock and awe of yesterday's injury news and all the things that all of the woe that befell the Guardians in the space of only a few hours there?
Yeah, Joe, that was like a car wreck, man. That was, I can't remember that many injuries being announced like that in one day, you know, in a short time period for a long, long time. That was not good. I give credit for Antonetti and Vogt for kind of sitting through that without, you know, raising the white flag and yelling no mas.
Yeah. We'll get to, how we think that the club is going to sort through the problems in the rotation, the holes in the rotation, the holes in the bullpen, how they're going to address those here in a few minutes. But want to go back and recap yesterday's Cactus League game, because after, all those announcements, they went out and played baseball. The Guardians knocked off the Colorado Rockies 13-7. They improved to 7-11 in Cactus League play. Banged out 16 hits and, hit a bunch of home runs, and it was a good day at the plate. Will Brennan, David Fry, Lorenzo Cedrola, and Raynel Delgado all had home runs for the Guardians. They looked pretty good at the plate. Obviously, spring training games doesn't really matter, but one guy that really jumps off the page here is Miles Straw. He come back from being away from the club for a while with an illness, and now he looks like he's settling in. 3-for-3 at the plate, scored a couple of runs. What do you think of what Miles Straw was able to do out there in an exhibition game?
Yeah, Joe, that was a good sign. When I was out there in Goodyear at the start of camp, you know, he was hitting well and running well, playing well. Then he got the virus and knocked him out for about a week. And then when he got back into the facility, you know, it took him about 2 or 3 days to get back up to strength, back up to speed. And now he's started to play games again. So it was good to see him do what he did yesterday. And the big thing is he drove the ball, Joe. He hit two doubles. One was off the right field wall, scored a couple runs. And that's what he's got to do. You know, he's got to do more than just put the ball in play and create outs. He's got to drive the ball a little bit. He's got to get on base and use that speed to disrupt the defense and the opposing pitcher. He's hitting 500, 7-for-14. So hopefully he finishes the camp strong.
And he was among several guys that had multiple hits in the game. Ramon Laureano had two hits. Josh Naylor continued his strong spring with a couple of base hits as well. So the offense looked pretty good yesterday. Logan Allen started the game, pitched into the fourth inning. He went on 3 1/3 innings, allowed one earned run, walked two, struck out three. Logan Allen continued to look pretty solid for his early spring training.
Yeah, Joe, he's had a really good camp. Strikes and strikeouts to walks are kind of, they're not probably where he wants them to be, but he's been solid. Maybe the most consistent starter of the groups, so far this spring. So that's encouraging. He's coming off, a really strong rookie year, and I know he is really ready to start the season and pick up where he left off last season.
Is it you think it's any coincidence that, of the group of those three young starters, Bybee, Williams, and Allen, that Allen was the one who was in camp last season, had the experience of being in a major league spring training already, and he's the one of the three who right now looks like he's having the best camp?
Yeah, I certainly think that helps. And it certainly hasn't hurt him, you know what I mean? And you're right. He kind of has picked up on the vibe at camp last year, what to do, what not to do, not to, just kind of go out there and put pedal to the metal, just to work on some things and ease into it. And, I think that's a valuable lesson that he learned last season.
The other takeaway from yesterday's team performance, at least the bullpen. The bullpen was hit with some pretty tough news earlier in the day, and then they went out and Emmanuel Clase, in an inning for Clase, gave up four hits, three earned runs. He struck out two, but it was sort of bitten by the Rockies driving the ball on him. As well as Eli Morgan pitched an inning, gave up two runs on three hits. With a strikeout. So two guys who are going to be in the bullpen and are going to need to produce, and the pressure is going to be turned up on them now with Trevor Stephan and possibly Sam Hench just being gone for an extended period. These guys didn't go out and necessarily put up a great outing on that day that the announcement was made.
Yeah, that Class A gave up a three-run homer. That's where the runs came. Those were his first runs he's allowed this spring. Morgan gave up a couple runs on sacrifice flies. Not the greatest day for those guys, but, that happens. That happens in spring training, and the results don't count, so that's the good thing.
It definitely does. One pitcher who did come out, throw a scoreless inning, Hunter Gaddis. We'll be talking about him here momentarily, but, one inning, one strikeout for Hunter Gaddis. He continues to have, a pretty decent camp as well. All right. Want to remind our listeners, anytime that, there's breaking news on injuries, on updates on the roster, anything like that, the best place to get updated on all of that is Guardian Subtext. It's a subscription texting service that we provide, $3.99 a month. You can sign up by going to cleveland.com/subtext or by sending a text message to 216-208-4346 to get signed up. Hoynsey and I update our subscribers throughout the season. Multiple times a day, you get the messages sent directly to your phone, and you don't have to go on social media or Twitter or any of that stuff to get the latest updates. It's a great service, and we'd love to have you there if you want to sign up and throughout the season. Hoynsey, what are the Guardians going to do now to address these absences, these holes to fill in the rotation and in the bullpen? There are several candidates as far as we can see for the rotation spot, Hunter Gaddis being one, obviously Carlos Carrasco being another. Who else is on the roster? Who else is in camp and are likely to be candidates for those rotation spots?
Yeah, Joe, I think Tyler Beattie, I should say, he's starting today against the Royals. And surprise. So he's a guy that, is into running. You mentioned, I think you mentioned Xavier Curry, Ben Lively, was, you know, he started for the Reds last year. He's one of the only, you know, one of only two guys they signed, free agents that they signed over the winter to big league contracts. But he's only thrown 4 2/3 innings, Joe. And, mm-hmm. you know, he's been hit with the same flu bug that flattened Straw and so many of the other players in camp. So we haven't seen him. I think he's only made two appearances. So is he going to be stretched out enough to be considered a starting option? I don't think so. You know, so those are, you know, Carrasco, Beedy, Curry, Lively, Gattis. I think those are the guys. But, you know, it was interesting to see how they've used Gattis the last couple times out. They've used him, you know, as a one-inning guy. And here, you know, he's pitched 7 2/3 innings. He's as stretched out as anybody in camp. So I wonder, you know, if they're thinking about moving him into one of the openings in the bullpen instead of maybe putting him in the rotation in Gavin Williams' spot.
Yeah, that's the big question is, you know, who's stretched out and who do they, you know, for the remainder of camp give those opportunities to log innings and get length to be able to be in that role. I mean, Carrasco with his flexibility, does that, you know, just, it almost feels like he's pretty much guaranteed a spot if things stay the same on the roster. It's just, you know, is he going to be a starter or is he going to be a reliever?
Yeah, he's got, he has 8 innings pitched so far mm-hmm. this spring, Joe. That's the most in camp. And I would think, you know, he's been a starter all his career, most of his career, you know, except for that one, 2019, I think, in Cleveland when he opened a year in the bullpen and did a really good job. But that was a long time ago. And I wondered, you know, when in listening to Stephen Vogt yesterday, he was talking about Carrasco's velo, you know, it's mm-hmm. coming up, you know, it's that it was increasing a little bit. I'm not sure if you want to put a guy that's, you know, not really throwing, if he's thrown below hitting speed, you know, if his velo might be a little off, maybe he's better suited to start a game where he can, you know, settle in and use all his pitches instead of coming into a relief spot where he's, you know, got people on base and he's got a deal right away.
Right. Yeah, that might be advantage to being sort of a little more savvy and a little more veteran to be able to settle in and get guys out and get deeper into a game that way. So you might see that. As far as the bullpen goes right now, obviously we know that Stephen is going to miss the season. We don't really know what the situation with Sam Henches is yet. It didn't sound great if there's swelling and discomfort in that left middle finger. It could be something that they have to shut him down for a few weeks. And if they do that, then he won't make the opening day roster. And there will be, you know, two back end of the bullpen, openings there right as the season starts. How do they, they're going to have to completely remake what the bullpen is if both of those guys are gone, if Henches is gone as well. You could put maybe a Hunter Gattis in a late inning bullpen role. He's a big guy. He fits that profile. Big guy, throws hard. Maybe his stuff plays up a little bit if you're only using him for an inning. But you've got guys like Tim Herron, Cade Smith on the 40-man roster. I think one or two or, you know, possibly all three of those guys might make the opening day roster, depending. Beedy and Carrasco, you have to make room for them on the 40-man. And then you've got a bunch of guys coming back from injury who, you know, might not be ready right now. Anthony Gose for sure hasn't really, you know, blown anybody away with his performance in camp. And there's still Nick Mikulacik, Andrew Mazaska. I'll always butcher this guy's name. Mizziazik, he's a lefty, and he's come back from an injury. And then there's a handful of young guys who might not be ready to make their major league debut. We saw Franco Aliman in the in camp as part of the depth camp earlier in spring training. Nick Enright was up as well. Tanner Burns pitched a few innings, and they're pretty high on guys like Jack Leftwich, Tyler Thornton. So these are some of the names that could help fill in those two spots in the bullpen. Which direction do you think that they're going to go?
Joe, I think right now you've got to look at who you have in the pen right now. Right now you've got Class A, Barlow, Eli Morgan, and Nick Sandlin. I think those are the four keepers. And so if you open with an eight-man bullpen, you've got to fill four more spots, because if Henkes, you know, is injured and can't, and has to open the year on the IL. Now if he's not, you know, you throw him in there and you got five guys, but you still got three openings. And mm-hmm. So, like you said, you've got Cade Smith, you've got Tim Herron, you've got Gattis, you know, Ghosts, I guess, is a possibility. Tanner Burns is safe.
I don't think you mentioned Curry there, so you got
Curry
as well.
Yeah, Curry, you know, is a possibility. I was wondering if he would be the starter or reliever. I mean, you know, if he goes back and forth between the rotation and or he fills that role in the hole in the rotation. But then, you know, you've got Burns, who's pitched pretty well. He's got a couple saves. He's still in camp. Lively, you know, is kind of a wild card here. We don't know exactly where he's going to pitch, but we do know he's pitched in the pen before. And like you said, Leftwich has had a really good spring, but he's so young, Joe. Mm-hmm. I think they would want him to start some. You know, they want him to start in the minors. And then, you know, the one guy that has a lot of experience starting and relieving is Beria, Jamie Beria, but he hasn't had. You know, he hasn't had a very good spring, but, you know, he's pitched, he has a lot of experience in the big leagues with the Angels.
Yeah, there's that he played basically the same role with the Angels. Jaime Barea pitched. He was a starter. He was a reliever. He's done both. Maybe just that versatility sneaks him onto the 40-man roster. But, you know, in just looking at it from those from that perspective, there could be up to four spots open in the bullpen.
Yeah.
And so you've got three guys in Hunter Gattis, Tim Herron, and Cade Smith who are already on the 40-man roster. It's pretty much it makes the decision a little easier on some of these guys, right?
Yeah, that's a good point. You don't have to start moving bodies and exposing guys to waivers and, you know, losing some people that you want to, you know, you want to keep. And, you know, Herron, they've invested a lot in Herron and Smith. You know, they really haven't got a chance. So I don't think you'd want to, you know, start switching bodies and bringing guys, you know, non-roster players and adding them to the 40-man just before opening day.
Yeah, and when you put Trevor Stephan on the 60-day injured list, you create a 40-man roster spot that, you know, ostensibly Carlos Carrasco would be able to take. So that would, you know, solve that problem there. You don't have to lose anybody in that way. So all very interesting. And, you know, we don't know for sure how it's going to shake out. But, you know, I think if I were making a prediction right now, I think you're going to see Hunter Gattis, Tim Herron, and Cade Smith all on the opening day roster, you know, plus, you know, you got Carlos Carrasco, maybe one or two other guys, to fill out those eight spots in the bullpen. And like you said, we're not really clear on, you know, where Xavion Curry is going to pitch, if it's going to be as a starter or if it's going to be as a reliever.
Yeah, but he's got to be on. He's
team,
absolutely
don't you on
think,
the
Joe? I mean, after what he did last season for him, and he's had a decent camp. He's pitched eight innings. You know, he's stretched out. He's ready to do either role.
Yeah, that's a good point. So, you know, expect to see Xavion Curry on there as well. All right, this weekend coming up, and it's actually started already. The Major League Baseball Spring Breakout initiative has sort of hit, and the games are being played out in Arizona and in Florida, matching up the top prospects from each club in these showcase games. The Guardians game will be played against the Reds at Goodyear Ballpark, 7 o'clock on Saturday night. So, you know, it should be really interesting. We were going over the rosters for these spring breakout games, and, you know, kind of interesting. The Reds spring break, the Reds spring breakout roster, you know, is, it would have been pretty loaded last year, in terms of if those guys all hadn't, you know, guys like, Ellie De La Cruz, hadn't made the big leagues, the way they did last year. Now it's sort of a less of, you know, fewer headliners on the Reds roster. You've got Rhett Lauder, who's a right-handed pitcher. He's the number two prospect in their organization. He's 34th overall in the in baseball, according to Major League Baseball Pipeline. And as far as position players, you know, not too many headliners. They've got Edwin Arroyo, who's a shortstop. He's their number three overall prospect, number 67 in MLB, according to MLB Pipeline. So, you know, not a lot of guys that jump off the page, but the Guardians are able to put out put a couple of guys out there who we've been able to see in camp for a while, and you know, who are actually still in camp with the Guardians, at least for now. Kyle Manzardo, Chase DeLauder, Juan Brito are all guys who are going to participate in this game. So what do you look forward to seeing out of DeLauder and Manzardo and some of these other top prospects when they take the field on Saturday night?
Yeah, Joe, this is a great idea, you know, for all the baseball fans who get off on, you know, the minor leagues and the prospects and follow these guys, you know, every step of the way along up the ladder in their organizations. This is really fun. This is a great idea by Major League Baseball. And, you know, I think what we're going to see from DeLauder and Manzardo is exactly what we've seen all spring. You know, DeLauder is hitting .471. He's played in 10 games with the big league club. Manzardo's having a really good spring as well. He's playing well at first base. You know, Manzardo is, you know, playing center field, right field. So it's going to be fun to watch those two guys. And we've seen, you know, we've seen Brito a lot in spring training. He got sent down just a couple days ago, but you know, we're going to see him defend. You know, we get a chance to see him probably play his most natural position at second base, I would think, and we'll get a chance to see him swing the bat. But he really, you know, impressed people defensively, especially Joe in big league camp.
You'll also get a chance to see some guys who maybe weren't up with you know, the big league side of camp this spring. Guys like Khalil Watson, who they got for Josh Bell in the trade last year, late in the season. He's the number 16 prospect in the organization. Jose Devers, you get to see him. He's number 21 in the organization. And Jason Churio, you know, whose brother is in Jackson Churio's, you know, hasn't played a big league game yet, but signed a huge extension in Milwaukee. Jason Churio is the number six prospect, an outfielder for the Guardians, and, you know, a guy who we wouldn't really have an opportunity to get, you know, get a chance to see play very much. But now he, you know, in this showcase, we're getting a chance to see him out on the field. You know, make no mistake, they're not going to none of these guys are going to play their way in this game onto, you know, the radar or onto anybody's, you know, roster or anything like that for, you know, the big leagues right now. But it's still a great opportunity for them to get out there and, you know, feel like a big leaguer for a day, play on the big league, you know, spring training field. And that's, it can go a long way for some of these guys. It's a made for TV sort of event for, Major League Baseball. And that's one of the reasons, you know, when minor league baseball was sort of consolidated and, you know, unionized and all that, and you know, all the changes that they've been making with minor league baseball over the last couple of seasons here. This is the sort of thing that you're going to get and you're going to see more of, are these opportunities for these guys to get out there and, you know, showcase themselves. You see guys like that, you know, Major League Baseball Network has Jackson Holliday on the Orioles roster, and who was it? Paul Skeens on the Pirates roster. So obviously those two teams are going to be the ones that match up against each other and play each other on a nationally televised game. Number one position player prospect and number one pitcher prospect. So obviously it's sort of a contrived idea, but I think it's one that works, and I think it's one that people want to see some of these matchups and see some of these top talent guys who would be on the backfields otherwise throughout spring training.
Yeah, Pittsburgh and Baltimore played last night, so it was really cool. It was good to see those two guys you mentioned face each other. I mean, Skeens looks like he's throwing 120 miles an hour. I mean, he is a huge, and he's huge. He's it was really cool. It was a good matchup.
Yeah, it's look forward to seeing more of it. Maybe they've talked about expanding it into more than just a one game showcase, possibly maybe even like a tournament of some sort, or who knows. You play multiple games with these teams, but it all depends on the workload and the availability for the major league clubs. And how they can continue to get themselves ready for the season. As long as it doesn't interfere with that, I think we'll see the event grow each spring to something a little bit bigger. All right, Hoynes, that's going to wrap up today's edition of the Cleveland Baseball Talk podcast. We'll check in on Monday after the St. Patrick's Day weekend. We'll see if everybody survives, and we'll probably be talking about some further cuts by then. When we get around to it, we'll check in with you on Monday.
Good deal, Joe.